God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
When we talk about God, what we are talking about is what all religions hold dear, and that is to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
That preacher standing on a street corner preaching, one man's evangelist is another person's political activist. You shut that man up on evangelism, you can shut him up on apartheid.
Praise music is not a genre in a style that it has a certain sound to it, but praise music is when you sing of who Yahweh is, what Yahweh has done.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, Issues Etc.
It starts with the small things, doesn't it? Like the definitions of little words that mean a lot and that need to mean the right thing in order for, well, for us to rightly understand what our rights are. In America, we value rights. We have a Bill of Rights. We have rights that are, we say, given to us by God, by our Creator, and that they cannot be taken away or created or substituted for something else by any government or state. But when the term rights gets redefined, then, well, then we're all in trouble, whether we rightly understand it or not. We're going to be talking about a liberal view of human rights. Pastor Hans Feeney is going to join us here for the first 20 minutes or so of the second hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation with Pastor Hans Feeney on a liberal view of human rights, we will continue our series Top Three Verses. Today, we will take up the efficacy of God's Word. That is, does God's Word actually do what it says, and what verses teach us that from God's Word? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour with your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a liberal view of human rights, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of the series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Tampons Are Not a Human Right. Hans, welcome back.
That's great to be back.
Just so we can clear up any offense or any misunderstanding here regarding the title, it is built into a news story that actually occasions your latest column for The Federalist.
Yeah, well, it was in response to a piece by a lady named Emily Peck, who wrote a piece for Huffington Post, essentially trying to argue that access to aforementioned products is a human right. And she sort of talked about the difficulty of many women throughout the world in being able to access these things, and kind of drew an equation between saying, well, look, the reality is if you go into a bathroom, it would be absurd for you to think that you should have to provide your own toilet paper. So in the same way, if a woman is in need of products of this nature, it would be absurd to conclude that that she should have to provide them for herself, which I don't think is necessarily a terribly bad argument, but rather the idea is the problem I see with it is much more in the issue of in the issue of the definition of human rights and the idea, and especially the notion that if you're talking about goods and services, that doesn't really fit the definition of a human right, which historically has been understood to be something that's in the very essence of humanity, something that's given to all humankind by virtue of our humanity.
Okay, you say that there's kind of a very simple logic when it comes to a typical liberal view of human rights. What is it?
Well, yeah, the simple view of human rights is liberal view of human rights. It seems to be the case. I mean, I'm obviously painting kind of a silly caricature, but I think it's fairly accurate still, is just the notion that if something exists, it therefore must be a human right, or at least if something exists and it would really be beneficial and make everything better if everyone could have it, then that thing must be a human right. I gave kind of a couple examples of this, which is, you know, back in 2008 with what's commonly called Obamacare, much of the language surrounding the passing of that was the idea that health care, and not even simply health care, but health insurance, is a human right. Likewise, you've had in recent years the United Nations state that internet access is a human right. So it seems to be that the trajectory of these things is every time there's something new that's invented, because obviously the internet's not really that old, certainly broadband internet isn't that old. Obviously healthcare has been around for about as long as human beings have been around, but the idea of health insurance is a relatively novel idea. And then, so kind of my joke in the piece was, well, look, you know, by the next election cycle, we'll just presume that everything else that people like having that's been invented since then will have magically become a human right overnight. So, you know, if 6K TVs become something that becomes available, if you have things like genetic modification of your fetuses, so a couple can go in and just pick which genes they want their child to have, if that's a technology that were to become widely available, yeah, sure, why not? By the next election cycle, you'll probably see people saying, well, look, some people who are able to afford this have access to it. Other people aren't. That's not fair. Therefore, it has to be a human right.
And this isn't some sort of academic kind of speculation about the trajectory of a liberal view of human rights. We do actually have a candidate that's running for president, Bernie Sanders, who is playing large. I don't know if he said that, higher education is a human right and ought to be provided free. I don't know if he's actually said that and followed him that closely. But he certainly has his many followers believing that that's what he believes.
Right, yeah. It's the same mindset of this is a thing that I want. Some people who can afford it have access to it. Other people can't. Therefore, that's not fair. Therefore, it must be considered a human right so that we can solve this problem of some people have access to it and other people don't.
So it also plays in with this kind of notion of inequity, that inequity kind of tells you where to look for things that might be the next new human right.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's whatever someone else has that you don't have. I mean, it's just bound up in covetousness. Whatever someone has that you don't have, if you can't achieve it yourself, if you can't purchase it for yourself, if it's just kind of the financial circumstances of your life or whatever it may be that's preventing you from having it, well, then if you use this kind of lofty language of human right, then that somehow justifies any number of things that would enable you to achieve it. So and certainly would justify the notion that the government would forcibly take someone else's money and use it to provide for you this good or service that you aren't able to provide for yourself. I mean, that's kind of the thing here is that you don't have to purchase your own life with money. You don't have to purchase your own freedom with money. These are kind of in the philosophy of the understanding of human rights, things that are, by virtue of your creator, given to you. But the idea of goods and services, well, you know, there's no such thing as there's no such thing as shoes until human beings invent them. So the whole point of this thing here, it's just the notion that, well, if someone has to invent the thing, if it doesn't exist by virtue of our humanity, then someone has to pay for the materials to provide the stuff, and someone has to find some way of getting this to a person who doesn't have it. So this lofty language of human rights, I think, is just simply, it's sort of grandiose language to justify taking from the people who have the product or who have made the product and forcibly giving it to you.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about a liberal view of human rights when we come back a few more minutes with him on this Monday afternoon, March the 14th. Then we will turn to our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Three Top Verses. We'll talk about the efficacy of God's Word.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. emmanuelpress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a liberal view of human rights. Hans Feeney is our guest. He is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Chanahan, Illinois. And he's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. You'll find a link to it under our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen On Man. It's a very short one that is really gets the point on the question of whether or not Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Answers it in about 25 seconds very easily. I highly recommend it. issuesetc.org. Click Listen On Demand. Hans, so I take it that, okay, just I'm going to play out a hypothetical for you. I take it that in principle, you wouldn't have a problem. How many kids do you have? Four, three, or four?
I have three, but they're all sons.
Okay, so the three amigos.
Yes.
If there were some way that would not confiscate people's money to pay for their education, if there was a way for them to go to college free, you wouldn't, in principle, have a problem with that. But you would still say, but don't call it a human right, a college education.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily even saying that I would be opposed to confiscating people's money in the sense of taxes.
I mean,
there's certainly a political debate about that. And I'm not really weighing in on that one way or another. The main point for me in this whole article and really on the issue is just simply that words lose their meaning if we don't use them properly, and when we're always calling everything, you know, so it'd be sort of like as a pastor, if you called everything that anyone ever said that you didn't agree with heresy, So for example, when Lutheran pastors will debate the sacramentality of John chapter 6 and whether or not this is a reference to the sacrament or not. There's kind of a long tradition of this theological debate going back and forth between Lutheran pastors. Well, that's the kind of thing where if you're throwing the label of heretic at people, eventually you get to the point where it really doesn't mean anything anymore, and it ceases to be a useful term for us to really understand when doctrines actually do become very false and problematic and destructive to the soul. And I think kind of in the political realm you see something fairly similar, where if you start off just simply calling the thing a human right, it really kind of prevents us from, I think, being able to have a worthwhile discussion on whether or not this is in fact something that the government should be requiring people to do. So when it comes to issues of health and sanitation and things of this nature, I think there's a perfectly reasonable political debate to be had over how vested the government should be in requiring things of, you know, schools or certainly of private businesses and stuff like that. I think there's a perfectly reasonable argument to be made there, and an argument that Christians can certainly disagree on and come to different conclusions about. I just simply think when you go with the kind of hyperbolic approach of just simply saying that anyone who would disagree with your position would be against the idea of providing basic human rights to people, it just kind of becomes a little bit of a non-starter.
So my concern attends that, and it is that instead of elevating the notion of rights, this use of the term rights actually lowers the term to, in some cases, the trivial. I mean, there is a difference between the free exercise of religion, freedom of conscience and of speech, things like that, and anything that you might want to call a right. By trying to pack more into the term than really belongs there, it kind of trivializes the term.
Yeah, I think it would be like, I mean, for example, right now we have a debate going on in our nation, and I think a debate that's going to get louder and an issue that's going to become more pressing on kind of the idea of religious freedom and on the issue, for example, of whether churches are going to be in danger of losing their tax-exempt status for refusing to recognize same-sex marriage, and likewise what's already going on and so far is not going terribly well in a legal sense for faithful Christians, the notion that can you as a Christian be forced to materially participate in something like a gay wedding that would be in violation of your religious beliefs? So could you, you know, do you have basically conscientious objector rights when it comes to declining to make cakes or floral arrangements for same-sex weddings? Now, so this is a very good issue to discuss, and it's certainly good to get all sort of people's views on it so we can kind of understand where everyone is coming from and understand the issue a bit deeper. I think on the issue of religious freedom, though, if you were to say stuff like, let's say that a church is in danger of closing and they go to the city and they say to the city, well, can you help us, can you give us free electricity to keep the bills, to keep the electricity on in our church? And the city were to say, no, we can't do that. And then the congregation were to turn around and say, well, then you are therefore violating our human right of religious freedom by not giving us free electricity or by not even giving us a free building. That would be great if it worked out that way, if just by, simply by virtue of saying you're a congregation, the state has to build you a church. But we of course recognize in these things, well, yes, you have the freedom of religion, but that doesn't require someone to offer you, to provide for you a good or a service at for free. They're not violating your religious freedom if they fail to do so. And I think if that's the kind of absurd approach that people, if you had people taking that absurd approach, it would really, I think, prevent us from being able to have a real proper and thorough understanding of what real religious liberty violations are.
And then I guess maybe it would be helpful to distinguish between opportunity and outcomes. I think sometimes when people hear that term rights, they think that everyone has a right to an equal outcome rather than right to an equal opportunity. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction to make in all of this, is that you certainly want to have an environment where the law applies to everyone equally, in the sense that, you know, everyone is able to open a business, everyone is able to worship according to their conscience. I mean, I think for example, you should say, look, if there's a congregation of faithful Lutherans in a town, and there's a congregation of Roman Catholics, for example. You should say, well, look, if we recognize religious freedom and the concept that this is an inalienable right, they should both be able to congregate and gather around the word proclaimed according to their understanding of the scriptures. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if the Roman Catholics gain 50 members in 1 year and the Lutherans gain 25, that suddenly the Roman Catholic Church needs to be penalized and start, you know, paying for the utilities over at the Lutheran Church because there wasn't the same outcome in their congregations.
You also point out one of the little ironies of the liberal view of human rights is that they really only want something as a right if they want it to exist. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, what I mean by it is I think this is a problem with the way that folks oftentimes think about this, which is people tend to be very concerned about the rights that they want to exercise but not terribly concerned about preserving the rights that they don't, which is a fairly understandable thing. You tend to pay more attention to the stuff that matters to you than the stuff that you don't. But it is odd to me that same group of people who sort of every 5 minutes have discovered a new right. So, okay, well, healthcare is a right, the internet is a right, free college education is a right, and now access to these types of products is a right. Well, but if you say to them, well, do you have the right to operate your business according to your religious beliefs, and to say, look, I don't want to have to provide services that are in conflict with what it is that's taught in my congregation, they look and they go, no, of course you don't have that right. You have the right to believe whatever you want, but you don't actually have the right to live out that belief and to practice that belief in such a way that it would be in violation of their understanding of what makes a good and just society. So, and I think the reality is that the only reason you think that way is because that's not a right you're interested in exercising. It's sort of like a couple of debates ago in the Republican cycle. John Kasich, I think, kind of walked back its position on this a little bit. But he basically said, look, if somebody comes and asks you to make a cake for a gay wedding, why don't you just do it and pray for the person to change their behavior instead of saying no? So in other words, what John Kasich was basically saying is, look, that's what I would be comfortable doing. I have the right to be a sort of moderate Episcopalian. Therefore, you have the right to be a moderate Episcopalian. And you go, well, that's not really the same thing as the freedom of religion if it doesn't actually give room for us to operate according to a historic Christian understanding of this issue. Then that right really isn't being preserved. So I think the important thing in all of this is recognizing that even if there's a particular right you don't feel any compelling need to exercise, if you're not a journalist and you don't have to worry about being targeted by the government for writing things that are critical about the government, you should still care about that for the sake of your neighbor who is engaged in that. And because even if you're not exercising that right, that's still a right that you ought to have preserved because it was in fact given to you.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist, and he is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Tampons Are Not a Human Right. Hans, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We've started a new series with him. We're about three episodes in on top three verses. Today we're going to take up the top three verses regarding the efficacy of God's Word. That is, does God's Word do what it says? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is next on Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues, etc., regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, logia.org.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in Word, Baptism, and Supper every Sunday morning at 9:15, Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.